me because I come to your town and we beat your team.
You're now tuned in to one of the realest sports podcasts for Kentucky basketball.
Three in the air. Good again!
And football.
The Kentucky defense steps up again.
Just an opinionated Kentucky sports fan podcast.
Maybe that's a Kentucky accent.
With Jay Hayes and J.D. Hall. Woo! This is what we do.
Let's go!
Religiously Kentucky.
Big Blue Nation, what is up? I'm kind of laughing coming in, but I'm your guy Jay Hayes, and he is
gonna try and be his voice of reason, JD Hall.
And we are joined today by a special guest, Terry Jordan. We call him Arizona Terry.
That's right.
I mean, I don't even know where to begin because you guys know it's been a rough weekend. Our Wildcats did not show up to play Mississippi State.
Facts.
No, they did not.
It was hard to watch.
It was very hard to watch. Like, they jumped out to that 10-0 lead. And it was like, okay. But it didn't feel great, right? Right. That first, you know, the first drive, you end up settling for a field goal. The first drive you scored on, you settle for a field goal. And, you know, the drive before that, you threw the pick, but returned the punt for a touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like a mixed bag early.
Yeah.
And then that bag just got less mixed and was just more bad.
Right. Terry, did you stomach the whole thing? Did you watch the whole thing?
Well, as you guys know, I do enjoy bourbon. So it definitely helps you calm your nerves a bit.
Oh, yeah.
But I hate Starkville, and I hate when we play there, and I just always expect the worst.
Yeah.
And we jumped out. It's 10-0. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe we can survive.
Yeah.
Didn't happen.
I just wanted it, like... It's been like a house of horrors for Kentucky football.
Yeah.
We haven't won there since 2008.
Yeah.
So I just wanted them to keep it close.
Right.
Don't shit the bed. But you had that stretch where you gave up 31 straight points and you couldn't stop the bleeding.
Oh! Somebody! Oh!
He needs some milk!
And I thought on that their first drive of the second half, you know, you could see that pick coming for Corker.
Yeah.
And I thought that was going to be the play to maybe flip it around. And then it goes right through his hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily there was, you know, a hold and a false start and
right. These
other things that back them up to help you force the field goal. But it just never felt, it felt off the whole game. Just everything just felt off.
Nothing was going our way.
Mm-mm.
I never felt comfortable at all.
And I stopped, like I was telling Jay, I stopped watching it at halftime. Not halftime, because I watched their first drive, and then I started to watch our first drive, and then Chris Rodriguez fumbled, and then I went to that.
Hey, let me point this out. Time of possession, 18 minutes, well, almost 19 minutes for Kentucky, 41 for Mississippi State.
And that's what happens when you turn the ball over four times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like I said, it was very hard to watch. And I held on to hope. Mm-hmm. And until even late, I was like, all right, man, this is not happening.
And here's the thing. You score to make it 31-17 with about 12 minutes to go in the game.
Right.
At that point, you're still in the game.
Right. A lot of time.
You have to make the plays to go along with having that time.
Right.
And I don't know what happened from that, because I was in bed following on Gamecast. I don't know what happened from that point on, because I told you last night, I don't even know if I'm going to go and watch this fourth quarter, the rest of this fourth quarter.
Right.
Today. And I didn't.
Nothing went our way.
So I can't say
but
anything about that.
I will
that
say that they got a touchdown that shouldn't have been a touchdown. I will say that.
See, I didn't even see that, because that came after.
Yeah, it was a drop.
So C-Rod fumbled. They scored. Our next possession, Will Levis throws that pick
right, that
they then scored that touchdown on.
Right.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So I didn't see that play. And I wasn't going to go find the replay, because I was already upset enough just from the game. I didn't need to go and watch something else to make me even more upset.
Right.
But I saw a lot of people on Twitter last night and today talking about that play.
Speaking of Twitter, so I, you know, I'm just clowning around, joking, and I find this picture of this broken phone, and I post it, and I said, "Look, this must be C-Rod's phone. It's been dropped one too many times." And I tell you, a lot of people, a lot of people enjoyed the humor, but there are some that hate my guts today. Let me tell you,
James Willis is the one.
And I'm telling you, I'm not bashing the kid. I'm a C-Rod fan. It's just a joke.
I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
But it's something that it's a problem.
Right. It's a mental thing, man. It's in his head now.
It has to be.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, because he carried the ball 8 times yesterday. He put it on the ground 3 of them.
Fumble, right.
Now, granted, the second one, ground, caused the fumble.
Right.
Yep.
But you still lost control of that ball. He only lost 1 fumble. So fumbles and lost fumbles are 2 separate.
Yeah. The one that he lost, I will say that Will Levis had a hand in that. That was... I mean, so
true. It was a little bit of a high handoff, but again, not every handoff is perfect. Not every pass is perfect.
Right.
But if it's a spot where you can get your hands on it, you can grab a hold of that ball at that level of football, you should be able to do it.
Right. And I got people coming at me like, "Oh, you're bashing players." And I'm like, "No, I'm not." I just give them, man, I'm optimistic about my team. Like, you don't even know who you're talking to, you know?
And I think some of these, well, one dude for sure will come up in the dumbest shit. since you the whole threat of
right,
tweets.
Right.
You can't argue the fact that it's been an issue for Rodriguez.
Right.
Issue.
Right.
Regardless whether or not he's lost the fumbles or not, you still, every time that ball goes on the ground, that's a chance for a turnover.
Right.
Yep.
And you can't be fully comfortable with him as a coaching staff, as an offensive coaching staff, if you don't know if he's going to hold on to the ball or not.
Right, right.
I love him, but he makes me nervous.
Yeah.
And he does now. Yeah. Like, he never did.
Some of these people, man, they need to hear some of these coaches talk to these players. I mean... You know, it's just ridiculous. But I will put that out there that it was just poking a little fun at C-Rod. You know, it's not bashing the player, because I am a C-Rod fan.
I tweeted on that picture, you know, to the dude that was giving you grief, Ryle. Like, my interpretation at that point was, yeah, it's off because he can't hold on to the ball.
Right.
And then, you know, you texted me and, you know, said it was because he – dropped too much.
He dropped it one too many times. Yeah.
As upset as we are as fans watching him put the ball on the ground, how pissed off do you think he is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I would have laughed my ass off if I would have saw.
Yeah, I mean, some people just, it's a joke.
Yeah, they get lighten so up. Bit out of shape sometimes. I mean, if you're playing lousy, you're going to probably lose.
Right.
Let's just have fun with it.
Right. And that's what it was meant to do. But back to the game. Mississippi State, 438 total yards against Kentucky's 216.
We played better against Georgia.
True facts.
What happened to our run game? Like, we were known for the run game, and it's gone.
66 yes. yards.
Yeah, it's completely gone.
Yeah. It got broke during that Georgia game because the game before that was LSU?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we ran for 300 freaking yards against LSU. So, and then you come into Georgia and you have about 50 yards rushing in that game?
Yeah.
60 yards in this game? I mean,
not good.
Something happened.
It's gone.
Yeah. Will Levis looked different.
Yeah. You know,
especially after that first pick that he threw, where he underthrew. Oh, yeah. Wandale, he just didn't look comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, so.
We can go back a couple episodes where you plainly told Big Blue Nation, you can't underthrow Wandale.
You can't underthrow Wandale.
You got to overthrow him.
If you're going to miss on a deep route to Wandale, make sure you overthrow
him. Right. Right. So the Cats lose 31-17. It is what it is. And like we said, it was hard to watch. Kentucky just didn't show up, got beat everywhere. And normally Stoops has this.
Adjust. That right. was another right. issue. There was no, like, you didn't adjust your defense. And I get you know, what Van says, that our corners are kind of suspect.
Right.
Which they are.
Yeah.
But you had to change. You had to change something. You had to change the momentum. You had to change what was happening on the field.
Right.
Whether or not it worked out or not, who knows? But you've got to do something because what you were doing wasn't working. You know, it worked last year where you only rushed three, but you rushed, I think last year they played with three defensive linemen. They didn't play with two defensive linemen and a linebacker as your defensive line. So I don't know. I was just hoping they'd come out and change and change the what they were doing on defense. You know, force a quick throw where he's not ready to throw it because they were just throwing the ball quick anyway.
Let me ask you this, Terry. Yeah. Are you more upset with the offense or the defense?
It's kind of equal, but I don't know. Like Levis, to me, last night just seemed out of sorts the whole game. We couldn't establish the run game. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we were incompetent or if Mississippi State was just really good. Right. I mean, I keep thinking like, you know, State's been pretty solid all year except for one game versus Alabama. They've had a
yeah.
I mean, I think they're a lot better than their record probably shows all the time, you know?
Right.
But they're not that much better that we saw last night on the field than Kentucky.
We stunk it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Offensively and defensively, we just never could get anything going. And I don't know. It's definitely a game that I usually go back and look at the stats immediately for games. I didn't last night.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
I mean, because Will Rogers, I did see his stats.
Yeah.
39.
Yeah. SEC record percentage or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. You had to do something to disrupt what they were doing.
Right.
They were getting free releases off the line. So you weren't hitting their receivers. Their running backs out of the backfield were wide open every time. You know, Will Rogers never had anybody in his face ever. So, and I get you don't want to give up the big play, make them dink and dunk. But you make teams that aren't comfortable dinking and dunking, dink and dunk.
Right.
Teams like Mississippi State that are comfortable doing it, you've got to do something to change their rhythm because that's all that passing game is. It's a rhythm passing game. You let them get off the line free and with not knocking them off their routes. Yep. It's an easy completion every time. You know, if you don't have a linebacker or a corner coming up on that running back out of the backfield, it's an easy completion, six yards every time at least. You know, so I'm not claiming I have the answers and know why or how or I could have done better. I just wish they would have tried something different.
Right.
Than what they were doing because what they were doing wasn't working.
Right.
Nothing. No, they felt State was comfortable all night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They just did what they wanted to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Usually Mark Stoops has a pretty long, minute and a half at least, opening statement. Check this out.
Pretty difficult to have an opening statement because it's been a while since we played a game like that. So not a very good feeling. They beat us in all phases. You know, I thought physically they played extremely hard. We didn't match the intensity. Felt like we got pushed around. We were not able to run the ball. They ran the ball. They made competitive plays. Out-coached the area. So overall, just a very deflating victory, defeat. You know, they kicked our butts.
29 seconds before they,
he got he did it all in 30 seconds or less.
That's yeah. Good. Yeah.
Right.
Got it out of the way before they took any questions.
And I said that this morning, there's not much you can say about that game last night.
Yeah. We sucked at everything and they did great.
Yeah.
As a team, you watch the tape, you burn the tape, you move on.
Right.
That's all you can do.
I'm more concerned about next week.
Tennessee coming up, of course. That's one of the games that was in my head, especially when you started seeing their offense do some things. I was like, that's the game we're going to drop. And now we play them after dropping a game, horrible showing from Kentucky.
It may not be a bad thing.
Right.
I mean, you look at Kentucky's record under Stoops after a bye week, and they ain't good anyway.
Right.
So even the games that they've won, they've been close games and struggles. So it's not like Kentucky's been lights out after a bye under Mark Stoops. For whatever reason, it doesn't make any sense to be that bad and uncomfortable coming off your bye week.
Right.
But they have been.
Facts.
So
yeah.
Maybe it's a good thing that they got their asses kicked down there last night. And
got embarrassed.
They're going to come back more focused next week at home at night. You know, yeah, it's going to be cold, but you've got a chance still to have a special season.
Yeah.
So to have 10 regular season wins by just taking care of your business.
Right.
Coming back refocused and doing what you need to do.
Right.
If you're going to drop one, I would prefer dropping the state game and beating Tennessee.
Right.
Yep.
Me as well. Lights and Lex in a year.
Yeah.
Yep. Not only that, it stops the Vol fans from running their mouth.
Oh, I just want to.
Because there may not, and we talked about this, it might have been last week, there may not be a fan base that's worse, at their worst, than Tennessee.
Right. I've seen a few of them already saying, oh, this game looks winnable now.
Right.
After the showing that Kentucky did. But, you know, they're going to have to come see us. So,
man, I hate Tennessee.
I'm looking forward to it, but at the same time, I'm like, oh, man.
I'm sure practice ain't going to be fun for these kids.
No.
This week.
And I'm glad it isn't. I hope they really regroup. Get refocused.
Yep.
Get out there and take care of business.
And let me say this. I hope C-Rod gets whatever's going on with him. Someone mentioned a wrist injury that he's been nursing. Whatever, mentally, whatever he's got going on, I hope that he gets it together. Because I'm rooting for the kid. I'm rooting for the kid to get to the next level, to make a lot of money. I'm rooting for the kid. But if you put the ball on the ground, you are killing your stock. I'm stating
facts. Yes.
Facts.
There's, in my unprofessional opinion, there is zero way that he can leave after this year.
Right. I agree.
And have a chance of making a team, whether that's being drafted or as an undrafted free agent. After what we've seen through 8 games this year with his fumbling issues.
Fumble Rooski.
I don't think there's a team in the NFL that will draft him.
Right.
Or bring him in and give him a spot. They might bring him in for just off-season workout body, you know, just to have that body there in practice. But there's no way he's making a squad.
He's not making a roster.
No.
I mean, there have been NFL running backs that have had their issues fumbling.
Right.
Tiki Barber is a great example because he came in a league and he had an issue fumbling the ball.
Right.
But he fixed it. And then he never fumbled ending his career.
Right.
You know, he changed the way he held the ball, carried the ball. That ball never left right here. It was always high and tight.
Right.
You see him run down the field. It was right here. It never got out here. It was never out in front. It was always right here.
Right. So I'm rooting for C-Rod. I hope he gets it together. But in the meantime, I do believe that it should be next man up.
He's got to earn that.
Right.
You got to earn that and that trust back.
Right.
And I don't know if you can do that in practice. Who's to say he's not? I mean, for all we know, he's not fumbling in practice.
Right.
So the only way to prove that and to earn that trust back is to do it in a game.
Right. Well, we have to see you not do it at practice first.
And it seemed like he had fixed those issues, right? Because he started out the season fumbling the ball.
Yeah.
He fumbled twice at South Carolina. He fumbled in the ULM game.
Yeah.
He started out the season fumbling the ball.
Right.
And then it'd been 3 games.
Right.
And not even a sniff of a fumble.
Right. And let me say this, too. I've been hard on Will Levis. I've come on this podcast and I said, Kentucky fans were so excited for a backup quarterback from a not-so-great Penn State team.
Mm-hmm.
We cleared that up, said, you know, he's a first-year quarterback. He's had some good outings. I gave him the benefit of the doubt, but now does it look like any of that is true from what I've said, that we were so hyped up for a backup quarterback at a not-so-good Penn State?
I just don't think he's – for whatever reason, that he's just not comfortable outside of looking towards Wandale.
Right.
Unless some dude is crazy wide open, since that first few games, it doesn't seem like he's trying to make those throws anymore. Like, he's locked in on Wandale. And like, even the throws he's completed to him are 3, 4, 6 yards. Like, there's no there's no big play there anymore.
Right.
There's no explosive plays coming from the passing game anymore. And I don't know what the answer is to that. Is it more and better wide receivers? Probably. That would help. But then, I mean, if you replace your entire wide receiver core next year, now you got a quarterback who's never worked with those wide receivers. So, I mean, you're kind of in the same boat you were in this year, where you have a quarterback who's never worked with the wide receivers. So is that going to make things better? Is it going to – I don't know. Who knows?
Dude's got a big arm. And, like, the first couple games in the season, you saw it. And it was so impressive. Yep. I mean, obviously, you're playing better teams, better defenses. But it's almost like he just cannot get settled. I thought it was maybe footwork issues or something. But it's not like that. He just doesn't feel comfortable. Rushes things, inaccurate throws, underthrowing. It's just a combination of things. I don't know if he's just overwhelmed with Cohen's offense. I don't know.
Right.
Which who could blame him? Like you're having to your first year as a starter learn an NFL playbook.
Oh, unbelievably hard. It's got to be.
You know, it's got to be. So
that's one of the reasons I want to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Right. So I don't want to crush the kid this year.
Right.
Because regardless of what he's done as far as results wise, you still now have that threat of a passing game.
Right.
Which we didn't have. Granted, it hasn't been good. Especially last night, it wasn't good. But you have that threat that we're going to throw the ball, because the last couple of years we didn't throw the ball. Like there was no threat that ball was going to get thrown at all. But it seems like he's not comfortable for whatever reason. Is he not trusting the offensive line? Is he too focused on one receiver over all the rest? You know, are the defenses confusing him?
Right.
You know, I don't know.
Were you on with Van during his spaces during the game at halftime?
No,
because I was going to go to bed, so I didn't jump on.
Yeah, that was really good. He did great analysis of stuff then. I can't remember everything because I was too angry at that point.
And probably a bottle of bourbon too.
I actually stayed off of social media because, I mean, like, the fans that think the ass has fallen out just drive me nuts, man. You know, we're 6-2. Like,
yeah, you know how to do Twitter during a game is don't look at the timeline.
Right.
Just tweet your stuff out and you get responses, but don't look at what's actually happening.
Right.
Because it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's hard to deal with.
I try not to. But there was one point where I was scrolling back up through all the recent tweets, and I was literally scrolling for like 10 minutes before I got back to the top because it just kept coming in. Like, they were coming in as fast as I could read them and scroll.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Yeah. But that game is over.
That game's, the next game. It's done. And now we got Tennessee. Mm-hmm. No one likes Tennessee.
What
do you guys think about this? Are you nervous really on this Tennessee, or is it just coming out of the Mississippi State game? Like,
I'm pissed that they have a good offense. Their offense is good.
Yeah,
they're better than I thought they were going to be.
Yeah,
and I was hoping they were going to have a down year, right, and just come into Lexington, we just kind of curb stomp them. But now we're going to have to earn it.
Yeah,
it's going to be a hard game.
Yeah,
it could be. It could also be a blowout either way, you know, because if the same team that showed up for Kentucky this week shows up next week, it's not going to matter what Tennessee's offense or defense or anything is like, because we just played so bad.
Right.
And if we play like that again, like,
it'd officially be basketball season.
Yes.
So I'm looking at Tennessee's stats right now. They're definitely, you know, they're averaging 457 yards in offense a game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're doing pretty good. And I think at one point they were averaging close to 300 yards rushing. So,
yeah, they're coming off a bye week too. So maybe they'll come out flat.
let's hope that's what they do. I mean, yeah. They've rushed for 1,800 yards, 226 a game, 5 yards an attempt. I think we're pretty similar as far as our yards per carry on offense. Yeah, I mean, exactly the same, 5 yards a carry.
Yeah.
And we're averaging 175, but we have about 100 fewer attempts than what they do. So our offenses are pretty similar as far as numbers-wise go. They're a much better passing team than we are. They put up more numbers there.
Hooker's a lot better than I thought this year.
Yeah.
And again, we've got tape on Hooker. You know, Kentucky's played against him. He was the quarterback for Virginia Tech. So he's not a player they've never gone against. Of course, Will Rogers was the same way. You know, they played against him last year, forced him to throw two interceptions in that game. But we'll see. I said this last week. If they win, they win. Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, the worst we're probably looking at record-wise is 9-3.
Right. Well, let me ask you guys this question. Who needs to step up more, Brad White or Liam Cohen?
I think Will Levis, actually. Yeah. I think Will needs to have a good game where he's just
solid.
Right? Don't be flashy, but no three interceptions.
Right.
Right. And that was part of one of Van's breakdowns today that I was able to watch. You know, it's not the play calls for the most part, especially on offense.
Right.
It's the player execution.
Yeah.
And the play that he broke down was a little swing pass to Wandale. And he swung it out to Wandale, and I think he ended up gaining, like, you know, 4 or 5 yards or whatever. But he was pointing out that I think it was Rigg was open down the seam on that same play. And instead of throwing it out to Wandale, just let it rip and let it go to Rigg. And it's probably a touchdown because he pointed out there was only one single safety. And when Rigg was open, the corner that was there with Rigg had already started to break towards Wandale in the flat. So you had two corners covering Wandale, or two defenders covering Wandale, nobody on Rigg, and a safety who was out of position, because if he catches it, he runs the other side of the field and it's maybe a touchdown.
Right.
And that's all in the execution of the play.
Right.
Knowing that you have another option besides Wandale. You got to see that safety that's rolling over the top and that corner that's getting ready to come down to cover Wandale, right, to defend Wandale, and see that your tight end's going to be open, right, and just let it go.
And I think Will Levis is smart enough to get that.
I think he is too.
I think he's a smart kid, and yes, watching film will get him there.
I think it's just a comfort level in the offense and knowing everything about the offense and about defenses and that stuff, because he hasn't started a game since high school.
Right.
Right? Until this year. So I think, like Terry said, I think Will Levis is the guy that needs to step up. Not necessarily Cohen, not necessarily Brad White. Would I like to see more pressure from Brad White in the defense? Yes.
especially last night.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see more pressure at the expense of the defense.
Right.
And that's hard to do if you don't have corners that you trust to put out there on an island and defend one-on-one.
Right.
And if you don't get home and you're playing zone behind a blitz, it's not hard for those receivers to find the open spot in the zone and just sit down and get the pass. So I've said this to Van, that they don't create enough havoc on defense for what I would like. You know, Brad White's philosophy is make them make plays.
Right.
Make them move the offense and go on long drives, hoping that they're going to make a mistake and you're not on defense.
Right.
And that wasn't the case last night or Saturday night. And if it's not the case next Saturday, there's a chance we could look at something similar to what we saw this week.
Yeah. So Kentucky now is 6-2, drop one at Mississippi State, Tennessee next. We came into this podcast, this episode, with some size, because it was hard to watch, but there was a good moment. Josh Ali punt return.
Beautiful.
Was beautiful. And we don't get to see punt returns like this very often. So that made it more exciting. And so there was some good, I guess you could say, mm-hmm. that came from this. Josh Ali just coming back gets a punt return. That was beautiful. But like I said, 6-2 now. Tennessee up next. And I want to get off this because we're going to let it move on. It was that bad.
I think we spent, you know, enough time on
It was that bad. And I want to get into some basketball.
Let's get ready for round ball!
Well, I think for years we've always been on Cal for recruiting guys that shoot a basketball but don't make a lot of shots, right? We don't have that problem anymore. I think we got guys that can actually shoot and make baskets, even without having Frederick playing. So I offensively, it's weird because you have a team that's kind of ahead offensively for right. Cal, which is the opposite.
Right.
Defensively, there was, I mean, anytime you're playing a smaller opponent and you're letting them score in the interior and they're scoring, pretty easily, it's concerning. Right. But it's also an exhibition game.
Right.
It's a weird flow because you're playing different people, different combinations. So I don't take a lot of it either way. I thought we could shoot a basketball pretty well. We need to work on defense. And I can't wait until we have our full roster. Mm-hmm. Right. And we get that 7 to 8, 9 man rotation, whatever he's going to come out with. That's going to be the team, right? That's going to be the product on the floor. That's going to make us happy. And, we got one more exhibition game. Then we have to play Duke. So not a lot of time to get things straight, but hopefully we get Toppin or Frederick back here for that game and just, lace them up.
Yeah.
Let's go play.
What'd you think, JD?
Kind of along the same lines. I liked what I saw offensively, the spacing, the speed, the shooting. I'm not sure that Toppin or Frederick will help much against Duke over what we saw. But that guy for Kentucky Wesleyan that scored 29 points, he did a lot of his damage on Bryce Hopkins.
Yes.
So you're talking about a kid who, I don't know, was he a junior, senior for Kentucky Wesleyan?
He's a junior, I think.
Going against a freshman first time in college. Now, I think Bryce is going to be great, but that's kind of a mismatch. I think there's going to be a core rotation of 7 guys that are going to play every game.
Yeah.
And that 8th, 9th, 10th guy is going to change game to game. I'm not sure how much Toppin is going to play even once he gets healthy, because we have seen a lot out of Hopkins and we've seen a lot out of Collins and Brooks and those guys. So right now with his injury keeping him off the floor, is he maybe the odd guy out in the front court? I don't know. It would have been nice to have him defend that guy for Kentucky Wesleyan, because I don't think he scores 29 if Toppin's in there.
Right.
But I think the combination, like Cal was just throwing guys out there
right.
in that game to throw them out there in that game. And he said as much after the game, so the final score doesn't really concern me all that much. He still won by 23. I mean, you had a 35 point lead or whatever it was.
Yeah. And Cal's not just going to run a score up on one of these teams.
He's not going to do that.
That's not his style at all.
Right. Right.
No.
Now we get up on Duke. He could.
But I don't know who's going to, like, you're talking about Duke, I don't know who's going to defend Banchero.
Right.
He's going to be too big for Brooks. He's probably too big for Collins. He's too big for Hopkins if he's too big for Brooks, because Brooks is 6'9", Hopkins is 6'6".
Yeah.
He's going to be too athletic for Ware or Oscar. So that could be a problem. It may be a thing where they're going to have to double team him from.
I think it's going to be it right there.
From one of the, either the other post guy or from a wing, and, don't give him that chance to pass the ball back out to that wing, or, make sure your rotations are tight. So when you do double team, you've got somebody taking that open guy. That's my concern for the Duke game, is just who's going to defend him.
Right.
Because we don't have anybody individually at that level.
Right.
Yeah. I think they're going to have to rotate different guys, see if what works. Obviously, defending the, you know, the guard spots, trying to deny passes are going to be really important. I think we're pretty solid in that area, but it's hard that early season of a game to play at that high level of a opponent. They're probably thinking similar things with us, maybe in certain spots. I mean, I feel very confident about our guard play. I mean, I think Ty is a star already, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he's going to be something else. So they have their, I mean, Duke's going to have to, you know, try to figure out us. It's just like we're trying to figure
out. Duke's going to have to defend too.
Yeah.
Right.
And they weren't great defensively last year.
Nope.
So, and if Bancaro is your best player, he's a post player. He can't defend the guards. Right. So, is Kentucky going to have an advantage there? I don't know. It's probably going to be pretty evenly matched.
Yeah.
There, you know, they obviously have the edge with Bancaro. But I don't know if I'd give them the edge when you start going 8, 9, 10 deep.
Yeah. And they're going to have to worry, like we're going to worry about Oscar picks up two quick fouls. Oscar sets. Paolo does that. Same thing happens. Well, then all of a sudden it's a different basketball
game. It's a different game.
Right.
And the good thing is that Lance and Oscar are pretty similar type of players.
Right.
You know, energy guys, rebound, play physical, but they don't have anybody behind Bancaro who's like him.
Right.
So you lose him, and that's a bigger blow to your offense and your defense than us losing Oscar is to Kentucky.
That's why I think three-point shooting is so important for us. If we hit a couple of them threes in the first half, and, you know, we just haven't had those kind of guides in the past. And that's why I love CJ. I mean, I don't know if he's going to play a ton because of whatever this injury is, but he's the kind of guy I like because he actually plays really good defense as a guard, underappreciated for that. But the kick and flat out shoot.
Right.
It's like a layup when he shoots the ball.
Oh, it's beautiful.
You know, I saw people talking about that on Twitter during and after the game. And somebody said it's a joke now. Well, it's never funny to joke about an injury.
Right.
Right.
And it's not just because the kid isn't playing right now in full court, full team activities does not mean what was done was more serious than what was reported by Cal and the family and the kid himself.
Yep.
Right. So you've had a kid in CJ Frederick who for 2 years at Iowa had issues with his ankle and foot. He has a procedure once he gets to Kentucky to fix the issue that was never fixed when he was at Iowa.
Exactly.
So you want them to what? Rush the kid back so he re-injures that foot and then misses the entire year?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Cal and the University of Kentucky don't owe us fans any explanation for injuries.
Right.
Not one explanation. It doesn't matter if we know what it is, but there's a lot of fans out there that feel like they're entitled to have all of that medical information be given to them.
It's crazy.
Don't worry about it. It's none of our business. When the kid is healthy and he is back up to where he needs to be to perform on the court like we need him to perform, then he will play. Same thing with Jacob Toppin.
Right.
Don't rush somebody back just because the fans are like, oh, well, he always lies about an injury.
I see that.
Vanderbilt broke his foot twice.
Yeah, I see that quite a bit.
He broke his foot in high school, and then he broke his foot again when he was at Kentucky. But it's Cal's fault that he didn't play the rest of the year, you know. Terrence Clark had his ankle injury.
Yep.
You know, it's all it is. It's up to the kid and the medical staff when they can come back, when they feel comfortable coming back.
Yep.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but did we not just have Big Blue Madness?
Yep.
Did we or did we not have CJ Frederick on the floor shooting like he normally does?
Won a 3-point contest, didn't he?
Looked pretty good at it.
So it's not a matter of whether or not he's recovered from the injury or that the injury was more serious and he's still having lingering issues.
Right.
I think what's going on now is just getting his stamina and his basketball abilities back to where they need to be on the court so that he can contribute to this team like we know that he can.
Right.
Exactly.
That takes time. It's not something that you can do over a day or two or even a week or two to get you back to the level you were that you need to be at to play Division I basketball.
Right.
It takes time.
They'll get it. Like I was saying, though, from what I got is J.D., he had to get it. He's adamant about that. I know you did. I see those things, and I'm like,
wow. I'm glad I brought it up.
You know, yeah, I mean.
Because Cal's going to do the right thing.
Right.
He's going to just give us all a middle finger. Like, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing for these kids, and I'm going to bring them along. I'm going to bring them along as needed.
Right.
And
right.
If they need more time, they'll need more time. It's not.
There's a reason why.
Right. Yeah. Right.
We don't need to know.
Right. What I took away.
Protected information.
What I took away from the exhibition was, yeah, we are fast. We're fun to watch shooters. But people saying, oh, this team runs. That's not new. I mean, you could look at every year, Cal on the sideline going, go, go, go. Run, run, you know. And he's always trying to get. This team gets that. I don't think we'll see him doing that as much as past teams because this team is fast. They're athletic. Mm-hmm. You guys have said they got multiple shooters on the team. Ty Washington is the real deal. Now, this is just an exhibition, but this kid is special.
I don't think the moment's going to be too big for Ty.
Right, right. I like Collins, too.
Yeah. Ty just has that maturity for such a young man. Like when these games, when you play Duke at Madison Square Garden,
right?
I mean, that's a moment where you piss down your legs sometimes.
Right, right.
At least I would. I'd be like,
right. No, that's true.
You get a player like Ty, some guys we've had in the past, who had the big game against Michigan State, Tyrese Maxey. These kind of guys. Ty is going to be like that, man. It's not going to scare him. Then you got, Wheeler. Little spark plug point guard.
Amazing.
Probably 5'5 on a good day.
He's definitely not 5'9.
No, I'm 5'9 and I could tower over him.
And he's scrappy. He's a dog. He's a dog. And I'm not saying a Georgia dog either. He's a dog.
I was down there this summer. I think I was going to meet TB. And I always go by the craft center. Like when I'm in town, I always go by. It's just what I do. And I think I was checking to see if I could get in because every year I take new pictures of the NBA players they put up on the wall inside the craft center. But I saw Toppin, Brooks, and Wheeler walking out of the lodge. And there ain't no way Xavier Wheeler is 5'9".
Right. But he's probably the toughest dude on the court.
Oh,
he's scrappy, man.
He's the perfect point guard.
Right.
For this team.
Right.
Because he's a playmaker. You can see he can get into the paint. He finds the right guy. He makes the right play.
Right.
He hit a couple of threes, I think, in that exhibition. I know he hit one for sure.
He did. That's huge.
So I think not being at Georgia is going to be good for him.
Yeah.
Not being on a team where you're expected to do as much as he was expected to do for Georgia is going to be good for him.
Right.
Because he's not going to have to force as much. He's just got to get comfortable not doing that.
Right.
Which I think with some of the turnovers, that's still him trying to do too more than he really needs to do.
And I think that's going to let him shine to let people know how good he really is.
Right. And, Brooks looked great in the exhibition game.
Yeah.
Davion looked good after a little bit of a rough start to that, to that exhibition game.
Grady.
Collins kind of struggled a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're being honest, he struggled a little bit. Unless he was getting a lob or out on a fast break or something like that. He had that crazy block early in the game on the three. So you can see his abilities or what he's got there.
I like that kid a lot.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens Friday night in the next exhibition game.
Let me ask you this.
Hopkins struggled a little bit with especially with his shot, shooting the ball.
How much time is Dante Allen going to get to play?
I think he's going to be in that 8, 9, 10-man rotation that's going to change from game to game. Once Cal settles on that 7-dude rotation that he's going to have, maybe 8-guy rotation that he's going to have, those next 2 or 3 players after that that get into the game, I think that's going to change from game to game.
Yeah.
Depending on matchups, depending on what's going on foul trouble-wise, depending right. on you know what defense the team you're playing is playing. Are they playing a lot of zone? Do you need just more shooters out there? So I think that's going to change a little bit. Right. But if he gets 8 to 10 minutes a game, I don't think you can ask for much more. Because right. I think, you know, at the guard spots, Sevier, Ty-Ty, Grady, and Davion are going to get the lion's share of those minutes.
Right, right.
I totally agree with that.
Right. And then you're going to have CJ and Dante taking up the rest.
Right.
I think CJ will get a little bit more just because of his experience.
I think he will if he gets back and he's fully, you know, recovered from whatever.
Right.
And, you know, he is a good defender. He always, when he was at Iowa, defended the best player, the best wing player for the opposing team. So he's got that edge, I think, over Dante. Not that Dante is necessarily bad. Because coming into this year, so far from what I've seen, he looks a little bit quicker laterally.
Yeah, because he's always kind of slow lateral quickness.
Right.
Yeah. He's gotten better.
So he's gotten a little bit better there. His shot looks a little bit quicker. He looks more comfortable handling the ball so far. So I like to see the improvement from last year to this year with Dante Allen. He's still going to have his moments to come in and make plays.
Right.
He's going to have his chances to come in because maybe there is a game where you've got to go Ty-Ty, Davion, Grady, and Allen and Collins or whoever else, or Brooks in the paint, you know, going super small.
I hope he puts 30 on Mississippi State.
In Starkville.
Yeah. You just have shooters everywhere because if you go with Ty-Ty, Davion, Grady, Allen, and Brooks.
Oh, dude. Guys,
like you've got shooters at all 5 positions,
right?
Yeah.
So
it's gonna be a fun year.
That game, like he's gonna have his chance. Well, there's gonna be a crazy weird lineup combination that's gonna be out there.
We're gonna
to match up whatever's going on with the other team.
We're gonna have lineups where we might have stretches where we hit 4 or 5 threes in a row. I'm just thinking crazy. It's not that crazy though,
because right?
No, it's not.
I love that.
Yeah.
We have not had that.
Right.
Notre Dame did it to us last year. Where they hit 5 threes in a row, 5 possessions in a row, they hit a 3.
Yeah.
So having shooters at just 3 spots on the floor.
Let it ride.
You know, and that's if you've got Wheeler and Oscar or Lance on the floor.
Right.
Because I think Brooks showed a little bit in the exhibition game that his shot has improved because him and Ty-Ty, I think, when a combined, 7 for 10?
Brooks,
you know, 3.
His shot looked gorgeous.
Yeah.
So it's never – his shots never looked bad.
Right.
And the Florida game his freshman year, you know, he hit 3 threes in that comeback. So you could see that he has the ability to hit and to take and make that shot.
Right.
Yeah.
But last year – coming off the calf injury, not having the summer, not having like real full team workouts.
Right.
I don't think he ever got comfortable being that stretch 4 that we're going to have him be this year. Yeah. And in that spot as a stretch 4 with his athletic ability and his size, he can have a monster year.
Yeah.
Because that elbow pull up, He's money with that mid-range shot.
Right, right.
And now if he's added that 3-point shot to his bag consistently, you've got to defend that. That opens driving lanes around the defender. It just opens up even more for Keon and everybody else on the floor.
Right.
So.
Well, we got another exhibition coming up this Friday, mm-hmm. November the 5th, before we get to Duke, November the 9th. Mm-hmm. Basketball season is here, so another big weekend for Kentucky basketball exhibition game and Tennessee coming to Kroger mm-hmm. Field. So I'm looking forward to it, man. Great basketball season. Looks like it's going to be fun. A lot of shooters on the floor. I want this Tennessee win.
I think we all want this Tennessee win so bad, man.
Right, right. And so, so good things coming up, and I want to beat Duke's brains out. I'll be honest about it. I actually went to the game in Indianapolis where we got dog stomped, and I sit through that whole game, and so it's revenge.
Two of the teams
revenge
that I
story.
Like the most in college football and college basketball.
Right. Revenge tour. That's true. What it is. But JD, it's that time of the show. Terry, would you like to stick around for this?
I might want to just listen to this because this is pretty awesome.
It's that time. The dumbest shit from Twitter this week.
Well, let's start with Gregory Hall. So I'm not related. Let's just put that out there. I'm not related right. to this guy.
Right.
So we all saw Chris Beard's comment about Devin Askew, right? Saying, I don't want to put all the weight on his shoulders. I don't have a problem telling you he could be one of the all-time greats. Right? We saw that. So you say you don't want to put all the pressure on him, but then you go ahead and you say that. So there, that contradicts itself right off the bat. But then we had Derek the Gym Rat say Beard is 10 times better at developing players than Cal. That's dumb shit in and of itself. But we had this dude, Gregory Hall.
Come on, Greg.
Shut up, Greg 21. Replied to that and said, I agree, and I'm a UK fan. Cal can only coach kids who are NBA ready. It's why his seat is starting to get warm. I'm really... Like, we try to keep this podcast as PG-13 as possible. But I'm really getting tired of these dumb motherfuckers that don't know a damn thing about the game of f***ing basketball. Getting out there and tweeting this shit out there. Like, we say this all the time. This segment gets harder and harder.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Every week. Because we keep seeing the same stuff over and over and over again.
What, which way did it go, George?
Has this dude forgot about what Cal did at UMass? Apparently he did, because the entire rosters at UMass were not NBA ready.
True facts.
The majority of the kids he coached at Memphis when he was there were not NBA ready when they came into that program.
Right.
Are we forgetting about Shai Alexander, Devin Booker, Tyler Hero, Willie Cauley-Stein?
We're not. But someone is.
quickly, Richards. Like,
the list goes
there's
on.
There's a whole list of players who were not ready for the NBA before they got to Kentucky with Cal. And whether they were here for 1 year or 2 years or 3 years or whatever, how do you forget about these players that developed at Kentucky and then went on to the NBA to have good careers? Like, it's crazy. The ones that have struggled in the NBA the most, when we've had kids struggle in the NBA, were kids that came in projected as one and dones and still left after 1 year with kind of so-so result on the floor.
Right.
Those are the kids that have struggled at times in the NBA. Scal, Trey Lyles, Dakari. Well, Dakari was there 2 years, but yeah, there's those are the dudes that have had their issues in the NBA. Not the dudes that have come in less heralded, busted their asses in what is really, if we're talking about it, an NBA light program. They ran an NBA-type offense the entire time Cal has been here.
Yeah.
They run an NBA-type defense because they play mostly man defense. You don't see a 2-3 zone in the NBA, right? So, and then to top it off by saying his seat's getting warm. Why? Because of idiots like you that say they wasn't fired?
Right.
Cal's seat's not getting warm. It's a dumb, like, his tweet is just two separate pieces of dumb shit put together to make one big old pile of shit that he put on Twitter.
That's a fact. That is a fact. And then we got Mike Hollingsworth. Coach Holly Seven. Overrated equals Mark Stoops. We don't take shit from the
Raiders. How many times were we gonna like? Right. Yes. Okay. His overall record is what, 55 and 52 or whatever, right? But his first 3 years here, he went a combined 12 and 24. Was 12 games under 500. And we all know the type of roster that he inherited from the Joker staff. And that's not to disparage those kids that were on those rosters, because those kids busted their asses.
Right.
But they weren't at the level of player, of talent, that you need to compete in the SEC.
Right.
Week in and week out. That's why in year two, when we got off to that 5-1 start, in year three, when we got off to that 4-1 start, there's a reason why they struggled down the stretch.
Right.
It's because they didn't have the depth behind the starters to keep up and keep playing those tough SEC games the rest of the year. And you saw that take its toll. Now, 3 years ago, the first 10-win season since 1977. Last year, yes, they were 4-6, but they went and played an NC State team who was ranked, by the way, and beat them in the bowl game. The year before that, you had your fifth option at quarterback in Lynn Bowden. The team still went 7-5, won the bowl game, and went 8-5 on the year. You got off to a 6-0 start this year for Kentucky. The first time they've done that since 1977, I believe.
Sounds like success to me.
It sounds like a whole lot of success. And apparently Twitter will just let anybody call themselves a coach.
Yeah. Once again.
I might as well put coach in my bio.
Once again, Twitter is not a real place.
Right. And he went on, like, well, they've been 4-6 and 3-5 the last 2 years in the SEC. Okay. They played an all SEC schedule last year and went 4-6.
Right.
Normally, you don't play 10 games in the SEC.
Facts.
Right?
Right.
So you played two extra games in the SEC that you normally wouldn't have played.
Yeah.
I don't think Alabama was on our schedule last year before they switched things around. Am I right or wrong about that?
No, they wasn't. They added Alabama.
So we got Alabama and we got Ole Miss with the two games that they added.
Yeah.
So there's one loss. Take that away. Take the Alabama game out. There's one loss. Now you're 4-5. In a 9-game SEC schedule. What did he expect? Did he expect Kentucky to beat Alabama?
He expected to be on the dumbest shit from Twitter this week.
And the year they went 3-5. Again, you had your fifth option at quarterback in Lynn Bowden. So don't give me this stupid shit that Mark Stoops is overrated as a coach. No. Because he's not.
Somebody was in their feelings.
Yeah. And he's in his feelings a lot.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
Moving right along.
The next one comes from Berkeley's Pops. Now, it's not the stupid shit.
Yeah.
Apparently, Chris C-Rod's dad tweeted out some stuff after the game last night or during the game. I don't know. I didn't really see it.
Yeah.
But Brandon said, Lord willing, if my son ever gets the chance to play high-level D1 football, I will hold him accountable for his play and not blame it on anything else.
Right.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, it comes down to Chris Rodriguez and what he was doing on the field.
Right.
So, catch 22, J-Gun 551.
And C-Rod's dad just tweeted out, we got out-coached.
Right.
Yeah.
And Stoops said that.
Yeah.
You know, okay. But guess what coaching doesn't get you? Three fumbles.
Right. Fumble
Rooski.
Exactly.
So, catch 22 replied to Brandon and said he didn't get to play. He had three carries in the first half. So as a father looking out for his son, he said, WTF, just like I did. So me being the dude that I am, I said to catch 22, he's lucky he got to even carry the ball the 8 times he did with the number of times he put the ball on the ground. If I was the coach, he wouldn't have gotten those chances in this game. 100%.
That's a fact.
His ass would have been sitting on a bench right next to me until he can hold on to the ball. Because that's what you do as a coach. When a dude's not performing who you need to perform, you take him out, you sit his ass on the bench until he's ready to do what he's supposed to do on the field.
Right.
So, now, granted, we're not talking about anybody else but Chris Rodriguez in this conversation. So he says, I think he had one fumble, and the QB had three pivotal interceptions and never missed a beat. No, he lost one fumble.
Right.
He had another fumble that he was able to pick back up. Yes, we already talked about this. The third one, the ground caused it.
Right, right.
But you still lost the ball.
Right. And that's why I was tweeting. I wonder if these guys even watched the game.
And I even said that. He had one lost fumble. It doesn't change the fact that he carried the ball eight times and had the ball was on the ground three of those. And like he just kept going. Actually, it does change the fact that he had one lost fumble. The QB cost us the game with three bad interceptions and countless missed throws. He is a junior and he has reached his ceiling. Time to move on. We talked about this earlier. It's his first year starting since high school.
Right.
His first year on a new team with a new coach and a new offense, and not just a new offense, an NFL offense.
Right.
That he's still getting comfortable with. He has not reached his ceiling. Because if he was out there with perfect mechanics, perfect footwork, and still making these issues and these throws, or it was his second year in the offense and we're still seeing these same issues, yeah, maybe you can see and say it was his ceiling. It's time to move on from Will Levis.
Right.
Eight games in, that ain't what it is.
Right. This dumbass didn't get it.
This dumbass didn't get it. He tried throwing in Will Levis into a C-Rod conversation when you're talking apples and oranges.
Right.
So let's take his argument. Yes, Will Levis had three picks.
Yeah.
The first one, we forced a punt, and Ali returned it for a touchdown. So that interception didn't hurt you. The second one, yes, it took 3 points off the board, at a minimum, 3 points off the board. But Mississippi State didn't score because it was at the end of the half. So it really didn't hurt you as far as giving Mississippi State points.
Right.
So he had one interception that gave Mississippi State points, which came after C-Rod fumbled the ball to give Mississippi State points.
Right.
So to me, looking at the turnover situation, if you want to go there, they each had one turnover that was costly to the team.
Right.
And cost the team points by giving Mississippi State points.
Right.
What's the difference?
Yeah. Well,
there is no difference.
I see in the thread where you finally said, you know what? I'm done.
Right. You know, and he's talking about twice the turnovers or whatever, and more chances. That's what he's not getting. Like, he's not understanding that when you fumble the ball three out of the eight times that you carry it, that's close to 40% of the time you're fumbling the ball.
Right.
You can't carry the ball as a running back if you're going to put it on the ground 40% of the time that you carry the ball.
Fumble Rooski!
Exactly.
I mean, you know, that's why he's on the dumbest shit from
that's
Twitter
why
this
he's
week.
On the dumbest shit up from Twitter this week, yes.
And finish up here with Chris.
I said this to you late. Go ahead, Jay.
I'd rather Kentucky be lower ranked, go to a bowl where they can be beat. Where they can beat a weaker opponent instead of being ranked higher during the season and playing a team which embarrasses us in a bowl. Huh?
You mean
what?
Penn State did in the Citrus Bowl?
What?
Oh, wait, no. Maybe he's talking about Virginia Tech or maybe it was NC State. Because we were ranked high in the Citrus Bowl. We had a one-dimensional offense against Virginia Tech. And NC State was ranked. You know, let's not forget about the Northwestern game where Kentucky got screwed with the Benny Snell ejection.
Right.
And lost that game on a 2-point conversion because Stoops went for the win instead of just kicking the extra point for the tie. He went for the win. Okay, go for the win.
Win. Play to win.
You know, to say you want your team to lose and be ranked lower so you can go to a shitty bowl game in a shitty city in a shitty stadium against a shitty team?
Let's not forget.
What kind of fan does that make you?
Let's not forget. Overrated equals Mark Stoops.
Right. My God. We're 6-2.
That's
we're still
right.
ranked inside the top 20.
Yeah.
These people get dumber and dumber and dumber every single freaking week.
The ass has fallen out.
But, and you knew it was going to happen. If they lost that game on Saturday night, you knew that was going to happen.
Right.
The asshole of BBN on Twitter was going to show itself.
Oh, yeah. 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 And it did.
Dark Star.
And it did.
Dark Star was going to be shining on everything.
Oh, and this is the dumbest shit from Twitter this week. Oh, man. Basketball is around the corner. We're 6-2, folks, in football. Calm down. 6-2. Calm down.
Yep.
I mean,
even if even if Kentucky loses to Tennessee next week,
it's not happening. We're going to beat Tennessee.
But even if Kentucky loses to Tennessee next week, they're still going to be second in the East.
Right.
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 Because Florida's got 4 losses. Tennessee's got 4 losses. I think they got 3 losses in conference already, and they still have to play Georgia.
Right. Calm down, so, folks.
And the only team we got to play left out of the SEC, I think, is Vandy, right?
Correct.
We got Tennessee and Vandy.
Yeah.
So even if Kentucky loses to Tennessee next week, Kentucky's still going to finish second in the East and go to the Citrus Bowl, at least.
Right.
Outback Bowl.
Right.
You know, people need to calm down.
Yes.
I edited myself there for you, so you don't
right,
have to be
there. Right. but no, man, thanks, Terry.
Absolutely.
Jordan, Arizona Terry to you, Twitter, and Big Blue Nation, for joining us and having some fun with us.
Arizona Terry's been one of the guys that's supported us and listened to the podcast since we started. So it was great that he was able to jump on here with us, you know.
That's what a professional
does. That support.
That's what a professional does.
So,
hey, it's a great product.
There you go.
Product.
There you go.
No, really, it's good. I love it. That's my go-to, and I do my little drive down to Phoenix to catch flights and all that stuff. No, it's a good product. Great show. I appreciate the opportunity to be on.
Man, anytime, dude. We definitely appreciate you. And tune in to the Twitter spaces, too. You can hear Terry on Tuesday nights, Tuesday evenings.
Terry, if there's ever time, like, you just, you know, if we don't have anybody scheduled to come on and you're like, hey, it'd be fun to jump on with you guys. Just send one of us a message. And if you want to come on, we'll bring
anytime,
you on.
Anytime.
Awesome.
Anytime.
Yes. So,
remember that.
With that being said, I'm Jay Hayes. He's Terry Jordan, Arizona Terry, and he is
J.D. Hall.
And we are Religiously Kentucky.
This was another episode of Religiously Kentucky.
It was great. Thanks for the hospitality.
If you liked this episode, make sure to give us a like and subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes and our opinionated take on the world of Kentucky sports. Religiously Kentucky.